Prayer is one of the most simple things imaginable. Prayer is simply talking to God. But it is something that we have a hard time doing. And it is because we have a hard time talking to God. And our difficulty with prayer has been the common lot of Christians throughout church history. Our difficulty was shared with the disciples as well. After watching Jesus pray, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. In other words, how to talk to God. They watched Jesus do something very simple and which they already knew how to do. And yet they realized that they needed Jesus to teach them how to do it. And we are in the same boat. Now, it's easy for us to talk to some people, and it's hard for us to talk to others. And whether it's easy or hard for us to talk to somebody comes down to certain factors. Who are they? Who is this other person? Who are we? What is the relationship between us? What's been the history of our relationship? What's the current status of our relationship? What are our prospects for the future together? And how do our interests line up? And regarding to the answers to those questions, two things matter. Number one is, what is the truth? But the second thing that matters is, what is our perception of the truth? And our difficulty in talking to God stems from the history of our relationship with Him, and specifically our past estrangement from Him. We know that Christ has now reconciled us to God, but there are two ways that our past estrangement can still affect us and impede our relationship with God from our side, not from His. First, we can have leftover negative attitudes toward God. They're leftover, they linger like a bad odor in the air. They linger from our past estrangements. Sometimes we struggle with old attitudes. God doesn't, we do. Second, we can have false perceptions of God or of our present relationship with Him. The former will make us not want to be close to Him, and the latter make us think that God does not want to be close to us. And so we see that prayer is very much a measure of our understanding and our faith about the truth of our relationship with God. If we pray, how we pray, what we pray, how often we pray, it provides a true window into our souls. It shows what we believe about and how we feel about all of these things. Now, all of this problem that we have, which the disciples did, is what Jesus is undertaking to change when He gives us the little prayer known as the Lord's Prayer. The errors and the struggles we tend to have can only be changed by what is true and what we come to understand and believe to what is true. And Jesus is making the point in the Lord's Prayer that while it is important what we feel, and that often affects us, the most important thing is not what we feel. The most important thing is what is true and believing what is true. That's the whole Christian life, isn't it? That the most important reality is not what we feel. The most important reality is something that's outside of us, something that God has done, what is true, and what we believe is true. And so in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus points us away from what we feel. He points us away from any lingering distance of attitude we have from God. He points us away from any misperceptions we have about God. And He's saying to us, what is important is what is true. What is important is who is God. What is important is who are we? Who has He made us in Christ? What's our relationship? And what does the future hold? We have in these few words in the Lord's Prayer really a full theology of God and man, of redemption, of kingdom, of the Christian life. And Jesus, in this little prayer that I think we all know, and even many unbelievers know the Lord's Prayer, you could start it and they could finish it for you. He's not simply telling us the truth about these things. He's putting the truth in our mouths. The Lord's Prayer is not just a prayer. It's also a catechism, and it's a confession. As we pray the Lord's Prayer, we confess the truth. And that truth changes us as we confess it. And as we confess it, and as it changes us, it begins to change the world. And in this little prayer that we will be looking at in the next few weeks in our catechism time, in our exhortation time, we see that everything flows from three seminal truths that Jesus is saying. These are true. The first is that God is our King. The second is that God is our Father. And the third is that God is ours. Grasp those, confess those, and you will find yourself praying more and more. You don't have to pray long. I think that's one of the reasons why Jesus made the Lord's Prayer so short. One of the problems we have with prayer is that we feel so bad about not praying more that when we do pray, we feel like we have to pray about everything. And then we exhaust ourselves, whereas that's not what Jesus does. He prays a simple and short prayer that says a lot. Charles Spurgeon once said that the way he looks at prayer is like going into the bank and presenting a check. Now, he's not meaning there that he looks upon God like a vending machine, and there's some kind of a quid pro quo. He pays something and he gets something from God. What he meant was he doesn't have to go in there and get down on one knee and say all kinds of fancy words to convince the bank teller to give him money, because it's his bank. He belongs there. All he has to do is present the check. And what Spurgeon is saying is that the same thing Jesus is saying. Look, God is King, God is Father, and he's yours. A little child doesn't have to make a fancy speech to Father to make a request. And that's what Jesus is teaching us in the Lord's Prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.